Welcome to Living Fullness, a podcast where you're invited to walk with two unusual friends through the ups and downs of the art of friendship. My name is Stina Constantine.
My name is Father Sean Burns, and together we explore what it takes to grow real, satisfying friendships, the joys and challenges we face along the way, and of course, becoming a good friend ourselves.
We hope by sharing our learning and experiences, this podcast will serve you in living your life to the full. Welcome back to another episode of Living Fullness. Thank you so much for being here with us once again. How are you holding up, Padre?
Okay. Going all right. Yes. Yes. Getting there. So good. How about yourself?
Good. Yes, good. I'm pumped for this episode.
Yes, actually. Yes. It's very exciting.
We're both a little excited by the looks of it.
Okay.
So in the last episode, we introduced that in this episode, we're going to talk about DTR, defining the relationship. Some people will have heard of this concept already, and I know that there is some thoughts around this being of an outdated concept, you know, a bit just a bit old school and doesn't really apply to the here and now. And then I'm sure that there's a few people out there who will also be wondering what even is this thing? I've never actually heard of it before. So that's okay. Hopefully we'll help with that today.
Yeah.
So it's not something daunting. It's not something majorly complicated. You know, it's actually quite a very simple, straightforward concept. And it literally is just a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it is. DTR, defining the relationship, is a conversation. And it's really about addressing what's already going on and seeking clarity in that. Because at the end of the day, if there is something going on within a relationship that is coming to the surface and it hasn't been addressed, it's going to bring some level of possible anxiety, some levels of nervousness, confusion. It'll leave things very unsettled. And if we're in a true relationship, in a true friendship of goodness, then we don't want the other person to be experiencing those things. And we, of course, don't want to be experiencing those things either. So in the interest of both of us and in that friendship, what needs to take place is some form of clarity needs to come through. And for that to happen, there needs to be a conversation of, hey, what's going on here?
Yep.
Something doesn't seem to be right. This is not just a figment of my imagination. Yep. This has been going on for a little while. Something's not right. Yep. Let's hash this thing out.
And it's sort of, people are sometimes a bit petrified about that conversation because, well, what happens if we have that conversation and it turns out that he or she doesn't reciprocate what's going on in me? And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but guys are often very frightened of this, of, you know, well, what happens to the friendship if I go forward and have this conversation? Well, my general understanding is that for a lady, it's a real compliment.
Oh, yeah.
To have to have someone have that conversation with you of, hey, look, this is what's going on at the moment for me, and I just wanted to bring this conversation forward. Even if you don't feel the same way, it's a real compliment to have that conversation take place. And, you know, okay, you might have to create a bit of distance for a little while so that, you know, guy can move on. But it's not like a friendship-ending conversation. It's just
It doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be. That's right.
That's right.
And one of the many things that a guy communicates in this instance, if it was a guy to initiate that conversation, one of the many things that he communicates is, I don't want to string you along.
Yeah.
Right? That, yeah. Oh, come on. What woman does not want that? Like, we'd much rather some guy say to us, hey, I've just noticed this thing. I don't want to string you along. So here's what I'm seeing. Am I on the right page? Then for some guy to be like, she might not, but whatever. I'm just going to play it out.
See how long this goes
and
for.
Because that gets messier and messier and messier. And we hear conversations, and I have conversations with young women in particular about this over and over and over with, I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know what he feels. He's giving me mixed signals. I'm like, oh, can we just have a conversation like black and white?
Please, yeah.
It doesn't have to be. It really is not. And I can appreciate that there will be a level of nervousness in approaching that conversation. Sure. I get that. We've talked about this before. It's an element of risk, right? Any elements of risk that we take, there is a natural need for courage to be there.
Yeah.
Which means that there are going to be things that we will be conscious of and things that will might, you know, shake us a bit and rattle us a bit. They have to be there. And they're the things that push us to be courageous. But take the risk, because as you've said, just because you've had this conversation doesn't mean that the friendship is now over. You know, this concept of, oh, if you have that conversation and it doesn't turn into a romantic relationship, gone. Doesn't have to be that way. That it really depends on how that conversation goes. Yes, there will be circumstances where, in the best interest of both of them, perhaps you need to take a bit of a break.
Yeah.
You need to go your separate ways for a little while. But if you've had a true friendship of goodness where you've actually upheld each other and you've acted and behaved and interacted in a way that really upholds the goodness of the other person, you're in the habit of doing that already. Yeah. So there shouldn't be too many issues and too many reasons why you would need to put a hard line boundary like that that says we can't talk to each other for the next little while.
Sure.
We can't see each other for the next little while. But again, every relationship is different and that conversation will take different turns.
Exactly.
But it is very much a very simple conversation of saying, hey, literally, hey, this is what I've noticed. What do you think about that?
That's doable. That's doable.
That's not hard. As far as conversations go.
As far as conversations go, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yep.
Or if you're the person who's grown a romantic attraction, it's also okay to say, look, here is what I think. This is what I would really like. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Yep. I like it. Yeah.
Simple.
Simple. One of the things that we've noticed is that oftentimes many people have been friends with someone for a long time, thought very highly of them, but couldn't really fathom entering into a romantic relationship with them. Good friends who spend time with one another and are free to enter a romantic relationship, you know, so they're able to they're not like a married person or a priest or anything like that. They're free to enter into a romantic relationship.
Yep.
This sort of state of being able to enter but choosing not to have that conversation or choosing maybe when they're going to have that conversation, this is what Sarah and Andrew Swofford have termed friends in motion.
Yeah.
In their podcast on
in one of their interviews that they did for a conference or a summit that happened during COVID, which, by the way, Sarah and Andy, love your work. This is awesome. This is very, very new stuff that I've been hearing from we've been hearing from Sarah and Andy, and so far from what we're hearing, loving it.
It's incredible. Yeah. So, you know, there's a point where they may actually discover, okay, you know what, there is a romantic attraction here, and I want to table that, as it were, for conversation. You know, I want to put that out there. Or they may simply, you know, that may not be something that they even consider. There's the possibility that it may or may not come out, and that's okay. It's all right for that possibility to exist, but for there to be no desire to actually investigate that possibility. And at the same time, it's quite possible that yes, that is a possibility that we want to investigate, that's all right too.
Definitely. It's in the conversation and actually taking that risk in having that conversation. And so I guess that state of pre-taking that risk is the friends in motion that Sarah and Andy are talking about.
Sure.
So it's that point where, as you've said, there is something happening, but a conversation hasn't yet happened. Thoughts and considerations of actually having that conversation hasn't yet happened. And so they're sort of moving in between, but not quite there. And then, of course, the only way forward from that in either direction, whether it be romantic or remain a stable, good friendship where there is clarity, which is necessary, a conversation needs to happen.
Yep.
And that's this conversation, defining a relationship conversation.
Mm.
And of course, we also need to be mindful of our own intentions, stepping forward as well.
Definitely. There's a guilty pleasure show that I watch. It's MacGyver. And, you know, it, for the younger generation who have no idea who MacGyver, MacGyver is this sort of spy who defuses bombs with a paperclip and Chewy-O. Like, he makes something out of very little and manages to sort of save the world from nuclear disaster frequently using household items. And it's an outrageously idiotic show in many ways, but it's incredibly entertaining. So it probably says something about my brain. At any rate, they've remade the series.
Okay.
And it's not as good as the original. Nothing's as good as the original. it's an all right series. The more recent MacGyver series has this episode in it where one of the main characters is sort of, I suppose, pining romantically after the other. They're friends, and lady in question has no desire to enter into any romantic relationship. The man in question does, but he hasn't put anything forward either.
Mm.
He hasn't made any declaration of intent. And so he's kind of in pursuing this relationship or pursuing this desire for a romantic relationship, kind of hidden underneath a friendship, as it were, you know.
Okay.
And so he kind of calls up his one of his mates, who's sort of a father figure of this young lady, and says, "Look, you've got to help me out here." He says, "Help you out? Do you realize how lucky you are to be a friend of this young woman? You know, this is a privilege for you to be a friend." He in the end sort of realizes that I've been so focused on what I hope we could be, I haven't actually taken time to look at what we are and to appreciate that. And so he reaches a stage of resolution. He's not made to look like a loser. He's not made to look like he's sort of second best. He's actually made to look quite virtuous in the decision that he's made.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a rare find.
It is a rare find. Well done, creators of MacGyver.
Yeah. But such a good example of where our intentions are at and what we're actually pursuing, especially if that other person has said no, if that conversation's already happened and they've said, "No, look, sorry, I don't have those feelings, I'm not interested in pursuing a romantic relationship," for us to then be stuck on that and to keep pushing for that, to try and pursue something that, as you said, doesn't actually exist.
Yep.
That's quite sad, really.
It is. This is what we call unrequited love. And we'll have a look at that a bit later down the track. It's of what unrequited love is. John Paul II has a lot to say about that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. I guess something else that we also see in our society is that we have this tendency to think, you know, because I'm sure there's people listening and watching who are thinking, "Oh, this is all far too complicated. Like all these steps that we're suggesting throughout this whole podcast, really." So if you've sat and listened to us this far, well done. If you're really in that position, you know, and please send us your feedback and thoughts. We want to hear them. But I can appreciate that there will be some people who will be thinking this is all too complicated and it shouldn't have to be like this. Like, why should it be this complicated? And I guess we have this common scenario in our world today where we think it doesn't really matter. You can meet anyone and there are so many decent people around. You know, you can meet anyone. And then once you've dated them for a while and it becomes serious, well, that's when we can consider actually working out some of the kinks, ironing out some of the kinks that are here and trying to figure out how we can move forward with a healthier relationship. You know, that's when things like communication and things like that come into play.
See, that sounds much more complex to me.
Yeah. In some ways, it might be easier in the sense that perhaps what's taking place early on is all those emotions and passions that are driving everything. In terms of, "Oh, well, I'm attracted to this person, I'm getting to know this person, I'm hanging out with them, spending heaps of time with them," and then after a while going, "Actually, this is someone that, you know, we seem to be in a..." I mean, once this thing has lasted for a while, you're kind of in a relationship, whether you like it or not, you're in it. It's just a matter of what that relationship actually is. And then going, "Well, now that I'm in it, now I've got to make it work. And there are some things here that aren't actually working." It's very rare to just meet someone and get along really well with someone and have a really and not having worked on a friendship to actually then have a friendship just click. That's very rare. It's much more common for people, for couples, to later on realize we don't have a lot in common. Like even mutual friends, our friends don't get along with each other very well.
Yeah.
Families don't get along with each other very well. And, you know, every circumstance is different. I'm not judging that. But there are certain things that we do have control over. And with this being the more common path in our culture, it does put a bit of pressure and stress on any relationship that then has to try and force this relationship to work, because we've spent time and energy and we invested into this person and into this relationship before we've actually taken stock of whether this is a relationship that is actually one that we want to have long term, in the sense that, is this someone I want to be friends with for the rest of my life? you know, before we've actually taken stock of that, we've invested all of this other energy and time into this person. Now we've got to make it work.
Yeah.
So that's quite stressful. And I mean, you know, in my own life, that was certainly something that, you know, thought was the way to go. That's what I saw in the world. So I thought, oh, well, this is just the way it is. And, you know, love is this amazing thing that can endure anything. So love will fix it. Like that's just what it does. Right? It's just love does endure a lot. But it is not a Band-Aid. it is not a cast. Yeah, it is well not, said. You know, this is not what it's for.
Yeah.
And so, in my own life, I've certainly seen that. And also, you know, simple things like when we use the word love, you know, how often do we actually use that word intentionally? And how easily and how flippantly do we actually use it in the here and now? And doesn't help that in the English language, we don't have a lot of different... We really have
one word.
Yeah, which is
it's love.
Which is very hard when you're distinguishing between chocolate, your pet dog, and your significant other, and God. Like when you say "I love you" to all of them, it's not the same kind of love. I assure you.
It better not be. That's
I assure you, it's not. But that does make it hard. And so, even just having to learn that when someone says to you "I love you," that may not mean what you think it means, precisely because there are so many definitions that we use in our world of what love actually is.
Yeah.
So taking time to actually work through that, especially when we have a culture that is very quick to romanticize everything and very quick on sexualizing everything.
Right.
We do need to take stock of what is actually going on here and is this the path forward for a healthy, steadfast relationship?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well said.
And it's perfectly okay to say, well, let's take it a bit slow here. Let's pause down, because at the end of the day, you know, chemistry can always come from a good friendship, but you can't always get a good friendship out of chemistry.
Well said. Yeah. Yep. That's what we call a quotable. That's well said.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Yeah. It's worth noting too that people who feel they're in love when they're still developing and growing. It's sort of, you know, teenagers, young adults, just beware. And I know that I'm probably at this point sounding like, you know, old Father Sean, who's you know, trying to put a damper on all the fun. I swear that's not what I'm trying to do. But, you know, you're at a point in your lives where you're still exploring who you are. You know, and I think it's really important to have a very firm idea of who am I as a human being before I start to actually engage in a romantic relationship with someone. Because if I don't know who I am, and if I am not strong in what my values are, then I may, without realizing it, trade what is or what would be most precious to me for something that is in fact a counterfeit of love. And so I urge you to be cautious. I'm not saying no romantic relationships for young adults or no romantic relationships for people in their late teens. Like I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm merely saying be cautious and careful. Know who you are. Know what you value. And don't compromise on those things.
Because at the end of the day, look, if we're meant to be a gift to another and we're meant to be, you know, we're meant to give of ourselves to another, how can you truly do that if you don't actually know who you are? So, you know, practically thinking, if I'm going to buy a gift for someone, I need to know what that gift is that I'm going to give. I can't just be like, yep, blindly, I'm going to take that one, not even going to see it, not even going to look at it, wrap it up, here you go.
Yep.
That's not an intentional gift.
How right you are. Yeah.
And look, just so you know, the people who are listening and watching don't sort of go, well, this doesn't work. You know, when has this ever worked? I can assure you that DTRing works. It's worked. I've seen it work. Friendships that I've had with people and with the people that I've spoken to who have had a DTR, I've seen it work in their lives as well. So I guarantee you it works. And to give you a story of where it's worked in my own life, several years ago now, there was someone that I met who was really, really awesome. He was really fun. Him and I had a few different things in common. We had a few shared interests, and we began sort of entering into a friendship. But it became evident that there was possibility for something more here. And as those feelings started to blossom, it was, okay, well, I'm open to that. I'm open to seeing where this heads. But then as our friendship continued to grow, I realized actually we're not very well suited. We can be friends of, you know, friends that just enjoy each other's company. But I think more than that, I'm not sure that this is gonna work from what I'm seeing as things are going. So in that, we then had a conversation because we couldn't let these feelings that had grown just sit there and just be.
Yeah.
Because that was going to end up somewhere that wasn't good for either one of us. So we needed to have a conversation of, hey, this thing seems to be happening. Are you on the same page? Like, you seeing it too? Yeah. Okay. Are you also seeing that this isn't really going to work out? Like, are we on the same page there as well? And I'm so grateful that we had that conversation when we did, because I can see this young man now, and I do see him at an annual function, and we get along just fine. We have, you know, a few conversations in between during the year, and there's no malice, there's no resentment, there's no hurtfulness, there is nothing there, because neither one of us allowed ourselves or allowed the other to use each other in any way, because we stopped it. We got to a point where we recognized these romantic feelings have grown, but there is no future for them. So we need to put boundaries in here now before we hurt ourselves and each other.
Awesome.
That is the power of a DTR.
And that really does go to show that friendships that come out of the natural progression of a relationship have a better chance of weathering storms.
Yeah. Hands down.
They have strength to them.
Hands down.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, these conversations aren't the most difficult conversations you will have in your life.
Yeah.
That's for sure. They're not the most difficult conversations you will have in your life, but they're not an easy conversation either. Mm. It does take vulnerability, it takes risk, but you also have to think things through practically, like to come up with the boundaries that is actually going to serve the both of you. You need to be able to think through practically. So you do have to invest in the conversation, but it's entirely worth it
for
what comes out of the other end.
I like it. All right.
Well, that is the end of the episode on defining the relationship, a DTR.
Indeed.
Send us in your thoughts, comments, and questions. If you've got scenarios, like if you've used a DTR in your personal life, let us know. We want to hear your stories as
well. Please do.
Love to hear them. If you've had a conversation, you've tried to have a DTR and it's not actually worked out, you know, in hindsight and having listened to the podcast so far, have you been able to work out, you know, where things might have gone better if certain things had have been there and whatnot? So send us in your thoughts there too. We'd love to hear them. Jump over to Living Fullness Facebook group to put those thoughts, comments, and questions in there. If you're watching on our YouTube channel, put your comments and questions in the comment box below the video. And for those of you listening on our podcast, jump over to Virtue Ministries Instagram or Facebook page and make contact with us there.
Yeah.
Well, that takes us to another TBG. Truth, beauty, and goodness.
Absolutely. I went first last time.
Okay, sure. I've seen this picture twice now and it captivated me both times, and it's a little nerdy, so excuse me. But it is actually an image of a cell that I found. And having gone through science in my school years, I've seen a gazillion and one diagrams that have been drawn to showcase different elements that belong within a cell. Mm. And so I sort of know, you know, what different shapes mean when it comes to a cell and what makes up a cell. But here was this photograph in front of me. And when I first looked at it, I went, no, this is like some sort of digital editing thing that's going on here. And then as I'm reading about it and reading, you know, the different types of technology that they've used a very specific type of magnetic resonance, and to be able to capture this picture that essentially is everything that I'd seen in these diagrams, but with a heck of a lot more color and all in one image, which I was just kind of, whoa, like you can see all these different elements and knowing what some of those elements do and how they interact, but I'd only ever seen them in parts. Seeing them as a whole was just like, okay, that is kind of cool.
It's huge.
That is really cool. So that just, you know, goes to show how far our technology has come and how far science has been able to go to be able to give us what we have today, which is this beautiful piece of artwork, really, of what is existing.
Yeah. That's really cool. Mm. Mine is so there's in our chapel at the seminary, the chapel is open for the public to come into. It's called St. Mary's Chapel. It's part of the seminary in Estella. If there are any Wagga locals who want to come to Mass, you're more than welcome. There's this family that sit down the back, and they've got a new bub. This baby has like a smile that's just – It's a winning smile, you know. It's this awesome smile, when I'm sitting in my pew, and you know, I'll be reading the breviary, or I'll praying the breviary, or I'll be doing, you know, meditation or whatever it is that I'm doing there. This little baby will just turn around and stare and smile, and you look up, this gigantic smile on his face. Just looking, and I'm sure he knows that he gets the reaction of goos and gars when he does it. But it's the most it's just the most remarkable thing. That's my TBG for the week.
Oh, yeah. That's cute.
Yeah, so, very good.
Alrighty, well, thanks for joining us for this week's episode. We look forward to catching you in the next episode. Make contact Indeed. With us if you would like. Until next time, know all thy love and praise.
Take care.